Welcome back to The Right Stuff, a podcast by the Gonzaga Writing Center, where we discuss the ins and outs, the why and how people write. Speaking of that, if you're looking for some tips on your next assignment or want a second set of eyes, drop by the Gonzaga Writing Center on the first floor of Foley Library, open Monday through Thursday, 10 through 8, Friday, 10 to 2 p.m., and Sunday, 5 to 10 p.m. Without further ado, here's the podcast. With your background, I'd like to just get a little brief snapshot as to kind of where you've been and how you've really incorporated writing over your time.
Sure. You know, I have to tell you, my favorite class in all of college, something called the Little Red Schoolhouse, which in the curriculum at the University of Chicago was a writing class. So every week we were writing a paper, and it was intense because it was no more than one page, and it was exploring different kinds of writing. And I love that class. It was the hardest class I took, but I think it was probably the most preparatory class for the rest of my whole career. I'm a physicist by training, and there's a very famous quote by a Nobel laureate in physics whose name is Richard Feynman, and he said, "If you can't explain it, you don't understand it." And there's another famous quote by a philosopher, Blaise Pascal, which says, "I don't know what I think about something yet because I haven't written it down." And so I like those two things because it forces me to really think through things, to make sure I can machine it and understand it. And I find the writing process to be so clarifying. So I've always loved writing. I think I almost like it more than I like science. It's certainly been the most translatable part of my career, is the ability to communicate, whether it's through storytelling or expository writing or whatever. But I find it integral with just being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because science and you know, there's a reason I think we match the College of Arts and Science. I think there's more intersection than we think. What kind of is that similarity between kind of as a scientist and as a writer? Where is that overlap?
You know, the arts and sciences often get married together because they are about exploration, and one of the ways we explore is by writing about things. I'm not a fictional writer, but authors who write, you know, will often talk about how they'll start a story with a certain set of characters and they fall in love with the characters through the process of writing, or they decide, or they discover what will happen to the characters in the process of writing. I think the same is true in so many other disciplines in the arts and sciences, whether it's the social sciences, where you're discovering the outcome of a research project by writing about it, or in the physical sciences where you start to, or biological sciences where you write down what you're thinking about and then start to develop the questions that you will ultimately answer, whether it's through an experiment or a calculation. I think that the process of discovery is connected with the process of writing.
Mm-hmm. And I think another big, one of those elements of that process of writing is feedback. And I'm wondering kind of, you write for so many people when you send out, you know, provost updates, and what's kind of your process when it comes to that collaboration and that feedback element?
I try to write something down for myself, and I might do it in the form of an outline. Sometimes I just need to mentally process, so I get up in the morning and do my cup of coffee and start writing away. Mm-hmm. But it has been really valuable to get feedback. One of the things that I've learned over the course of my career is, I guess I've learned a certain sense of humility with writing, because what I often think I'm saying isn't what's conveyed, mm-hmm. or other messages get leaked in which I did not intend at all, or word choice matters, or so many other errors, like, oh, I had no idea that's how someone would read such a thing that I would write. So I have found it very valuable to have trusted colleagues and friends who will read through something, and before they get into the commas and my punctuation and word choice, tell me what you think I said in this piece, or tell me what's your emotional state after reading this. And many times I have to stop even after that first round of feedback, because what I wanted to say didn't get through at all, or what they read was not at all, you know, there are all these unintended things that mm-hmm. come up. So feedback's really helpful, and that's even before you get to the polishing kind of feedback, right? Yeah. There's this sort of first and foremost gut check of what did you receive as a result of what I sent, and I think that's valuable, because first and foremost, writing is about relationship building, whether it's inspiration or expressing care or just sharing information. We're trying to build relationship as a community through writing. And if you are sloppy with that, then all you've done is fracture all the relationships that you care about. So yep. I found that the folks who are willing to walk with me on that feedback process are some of my favorite people.
Mm-hmm. And I love that question that you mentioned, you know, do you understand what I'm trying to say? And the funny thing is I think it actually works both ways, because when I'm tutoring a student in the writing center, you know, sometimes we'll read the piece aloud and say they've worked on maybe a 2-page, 3-page essay, and I'll make them read it out loud and we'll kind of go paragraph by paragraph. And kind of the first question that I always ask is, well, what did you think? Like, how did you hear, how was it to hear your own work out loud? And usually they almost start the whole tutoring process before I even say anything, because all of a sudden now they're working through these things. They're like, oh, yeah, I didn't like it when I said this. I didn't feel like that. And what do you think? And now all of a sudden I'm just bouncing off them thinking about all of these things that they are. And I think that that's phenomenal in the way that all works out.
It's really a discipline to ask ourselves what we think that our writing is saying. And if we're dispassionate about it, we might realize, oh, that wasn't as good as I thought it was.
That didn't have the same tone as I wanted it.
Yeah.
Because it's so, our head thinks so differently than sometimes the way that we read things out loud.
Yeah.
What do you think in terms of kind of that reading process? How important is that reading element? If we're just talking about reading, maybe not reading your own work, but just reading in general to the overall writing process.
I think it's been super important for me to read a lot of different kinds of writing, because we sometimes get set in our own treadmarks on the road and think, oh, this is what all writing looks like. But it makes us blind to what our writing is actually like. Mm-hmm. And as a reader, I find myself curious about different writing styles or different purposes of different kinds of writing. So it puts me back on my heels a little bit. And that's valuable, because I don't ever want to get so predictable in my own communication that I don't capture anyone's attention or deserve anyone's attention. I think it also forces us in reading to cultivate, I guess is the right word, a curiosity, which we hope that all of us in the community have.
Yeah. I was going to mention, when you are writing kind of for that group of people, when you say that, okay, I'm going to put out this part of the strategic plan, or I'm going to mention this part to a large group of people, how do you kind of analyze or synthesize your audience? How do you write specifically for an audience? You said, you know, I don't want to be too predictable. What's the Dr. Sasha style?
Well, for the kind of writing you just mentioned, that is one person to many person communication. So that, for me, starts me off in a certain habit. Mm-hmm. I know that an audience that is that big doesn't have one point of view. And so I try to ask, before I even begin the process of writing anything, a number of colleagues, what do you think is out there in this community at this moment? What do they need me to talk about? Or if the topic is, you know, a certain topic, through what lens are they going to be coming at this topic? Because mm-hmm. that teaches me a little bit about where I need to go with whatever communication I have. But that's a very specific kind of communication, this one-to-many mm-hmm. kind of communication. I might be writing you something, and then I have to think about what you want to hear about, or what do you need to receive, at least according to me. Mm-hmm. And that's a very different style of communication.
Right? So does that style for you change over time? Or do you think that inside you've got your own, that voice that you would want to convey? Do you think that ever comes out, or do you think you more tailor your writing to your audience?
I'd like to think I change my writing depending on the audience. Not that I would be inauthentic.
That's true, true.
Actually, I suppose that my style has to change a little bit depending on the audience in order to convey that authenticity. Mm-hmm. I don't know about your experience, but sometimes when you're writing to a large and unfamiliar group, they might infer things about you, the sender, because they don't know you. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to assume things, or maybe the writing itself will cause them to infer certain things when in fact that's not your personality or your character.
It's like, so if writing's like this, it's sometimes it can be a first impression, and sometimes it can be catching up with a close friend. And
exactly.
You kind of got to change that style sometimes.
Exactly. So for certain audiences, I find myself bending over backwards so as to be authentic, mm-hmm. where I wouldn't need to do that with a close friend, for mm-hmm. example.
And that's, again, where that feedback element comes in, because maybe sometimes someone might know that audience a little bit better than you might, or they've got some sort of insight that can be so helpful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What do you think is the best piece of feedback? Maybe even you can go all the way back to the Little Red Schoolhouse. Mm-hmm. What's the best piece of feedback you maybe have ever received?
Sometimes the hardest piece of feedback is don't send this at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not a message that needs to happen now. Or the preparatory work for such a message isn't there yet. Or you may be thinking it, but it doesn't mean it's right. So I find myself, ideally, discarding a lot of the writing that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not right, or it's not tailored, or it's not the right time, or so many other things. Just because we think it doesn't mean it should be on the page, so to speak. So being judicious with our writing is, for me, the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm. But it's one of the most powerful. I think it's one of those sayings. I think it's the kill your darlings sometimes is what they call it.
Okay.
Where you've got that, maybe the piece that you really enjoy, but it'd be better if it wasn't there at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes just interesting. Writing's always interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a question thinking about kind of the future here.
Yeah.
And specifically of the writers of today, how do you think, or what have you noticed about specifically students and the way that kind of writing's changed and how writing is at a collegiate level right here, right now?
Hmm. College students today have access to an incredible number of resources that weren't even invented when I was a student. So first I have to start with, I went to college before there was an internet, which I know is hard for a lot of people to process. Like, what does that mean? There was no internet. Mm-hmm. There was no internet when I was a college student. And then of course you have tools like AI,
mm-hmm.
which we don't even know how that will change things. In between, there were lots of other kinds of resources, whether it's spell checkers or word processors. I mean, in my day, we still hammered away on typewriters. I think those are incredible resources. What I really hope will happen is that they advance the process of writing. The best analogy of how it could go right or wrong would be how we do speaking. So today, there's this thing called PowerPoint, which again did not exist when I was a college student. Many would say it has made public speaking terrible because they are not attracted to the idea of putting bullet points on slides and we all follow along mm-hmm. on the slides. That's part of the problem, but the real problem is that it has collapsed all the complexity and nuance of public speaking into making sure that we've mentioned all the bullet points of the slide. It's taken us away from storytelling. It's taken us away from connecting, which is what we would hope for in public speaking. If you carry that analogy over to writing, some of these tools, like I can copy and paste some things off the internet, or I can even generate text using generative AI, it could go a long way to enhancing the writing process and giving us a first cut of something,
mm-hmm.
or it could be the totality of what we do. We just cut and paste some stuff, or we ask ChatGPT to write us a paragraph about, you know, some topic without going any further. And what I read from ChatGPT is fine. I asked it once to, write a message to the campus pretending that we have a budget challenge and we have to think through our enrollments and blah, blah, blah. And it read perfectly like a college administrator in a very boring tone.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't particularly elaborative. It wasn't particularly transparent. It wasn't particularly emotive. And it certainly wasn't inspirational.
Definitely didn't have the Sacha style.
Well, I'd like to think there would be more to me writing it if I did it. So if I think about writing in all the contexts in which we want to write, these tools can do the job, but we'll be in a poorer and less interesting place. It's kind of like the difference between walking into a beautiful old Art Deco building or craftsman-style house versus a box store, you know, or a very bland hotel room, right? So, mm-hmm. yes, they are both servicing as shelter, but one has an inspirational and emotive feel to it, and the other...
One makes you feel something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you think, you know, specifically from a campus point of view at Gonzaga, do you think our Gonzaga writers are set up to succeed?
One of the things I cherish about the experience here at Gonzaga is that students are being asked into different writing contexts in multiple settings. So there's no one of them that's going to do the job of teaching you everything there is to know about writing, but it'll certainly get you on the path, whether it's in a scientific context or in a humanities context or a storytelling context or any other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully a few of you will write for the student paper, or hopefully a few of you will be on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I think all we can do is flex these muscles. It's kind of like learning to go to the gym. And even if you go to the gym all 4 years you're here in college, it's not the totality of your health journey for the rest of your 60-some years of living.
Mm-hmm.
You start developing the habit, and that I see really
something
strong.
I haven't really done.
Well, I haven't gone yet this week, and it's a good stress reliever, so I hope to go get back to it today. But it's habit forming, right? We need to develop habits, and we only can do that by by practicing.
Yeah, and you know, the director, Dr. Elias, you know, he would love me to ask this question, and you know, with that in mind about writing, you know, why then support these academic support structures like the Writing Center? Why are these very important to the campus and Gonzaga?
I have two children who are both musicians. And as musicians, they know there's no surer way to get to artistic expression than practicing. So first and foremost, it's an opportunity to practice. The other thing they would both tell you as musicians is it's good to take lessons from lots of different teachers, because teachers approach things differently.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have the best instructor in a class where writing is important, and it's one lens into how to do the writing process. In a writing center, you probably get a different lens on how to go through the writing process. So more voices and more trusted sources of information, that's a big upside.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Well, that's all of my questions that I have. Do you have anything that you would like to add just on the overall topic of writing?
I won't live through the majority of this coming century, and you all will. So it's hard for me to predict what you will face in your lifetime. If it's anything like mine, as technology changes the pace of living and even changes the landscape of what it means to be living, to be human and develop the kinds of relationships we would all wish for will come through communication. And so I hope that everyone finds satisfying ways of communicating with one another, if for no other reason than to build loving and connecting relationships. And writing is one of those ways.
Amazing. Dr. Kopp, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much.